Hey, everybody. On today's episode, we are going to talk about three keys to strategic innovation. And we're going to learn five different ways that you can revitalize your company and learn how to ask better questions to develop your strategies. Stay tuned. Welcome to Antonio Bravada's Business Coaching and Optimization Podcast. And you guessed it, I'm your host, Antonio Bravada, but you can call me Tony. I've spent years helping business owners as individuals grow their businesses and, more importantly, their free cash flow. I am here for you. Your business is the tool that lets you live the life that you want. If you're ready to be an owner and stop being an operator of your business, and if you're ready to increase your sales and profits while at the same time creating more time and financial freedom for you and your family, this is the place to be. Let's dive into today's episode. Good morning, everybody. So it is very important to constantly be innovating your company. We talked about this, I believe, maybe on the first episode, but strategic innovation is one of the ways in which you are going to grow your company, or how you can look at investments, or how you can do anything. So let's talk about some of the keys to strategic innovation. There's three main keys. Number one, you want to be just ahead of the trend, but you don't want to be the pioneer. Pioneers get arrows. So if you look back to the episode where we talked about the different life stages of a business, okay, that's going to indicate to you where you are now, right? So that you know what the next level is, what you're trying to get to, and you know exactly what you need to do. But when you're starting a business, or if you're starting a product line, or if you're starting a different investment within your company, or maybe as a business owner, you're just expanding businesses in general and you're going out to a new business, you want to pay attention to the life stages of those business, because if you are ahead of the trend, if your product is too soon, think about when James Cameron started to film the movie Avatar for the first time. It took him 10 years to do it because the technology that existed, which allowed him to create Avatar, didn't exist at the time. Okay. Think about any companies that may have had the same idea of like the iPod when it first came out, right? But 5 years before the iPod came out, it might not have been successful. If you're ahead of the trend, people don't think that it's going to last. They think that it's a fad. They're not used to it yet. They don't understand why they need it. Plus, other people will come along and likely make the product better. I think Microsoft had the Microsoft Zune, if you remember that. That didn't last very well because Apple came out and crushed it. But with any business, if you're ahead of the trend, I guess you can be ahead of the trend, okay? You don't want to be late to the trend. You can be ahead of the trend, but don't pioneer the trend, right? Don't be the first, because the pioneers get arrows, okay? That's the key to strategic innovation. Number two is ensure that there are infinite upside potentials. So when you're going to create a new product or a new service or start a company, you want to make sure that you're not going to put all this money, time, energy, and effort into building what you're doing if the upside doesn't match. So again, the life stages of a business, if the industry or the service or the product or whatever it is that you're trying to offer is in its, you know, middle age, it's aging, it's towards the end of its life cycle, and you're seeing all these people making money doing it. And so you say, hey, I have to get on that trend. It just took you forever to get going to it. If you jump in too late, you don't have the upside potential. But you don't want to jump into it as a newborn or a toddler, right? So jumping into it as a teenager, as far as that cycle goes, that's probably a very good time to do it. But you want to make sure that whatever you're doing, that you're, again, just ahead of the trend, and you want to ensure that there are an infinite upside potentials so that you can constantly keep going. And number three, we're going to talk about different ways that you can revitalize a company. Okay, strategic innovation, you have to be able to add in new things. So one of those new things is new voices. So if you have a company, let's just say you're 10 years in business and you have the same employees that you've had for those 10 years, trying to create new innovations within your company, new products, new services, sometimes stall out because you have the same people in the same meetings saying the same things with the same ideas. And one of the ways to really get creative and revitalize a company, I mean, if you think that you're just past your prime, right? You had a great run. Maybe it was years long. Sales were through the roof, revenues through the roof, profits are through the roof. And then, you know, things are starting to slow down, right? Whether it's an economy, whether it's the age of the business, whether it's the product line kind of coming to an end, whatever it happens to be, how you revitalize a company is putting new voices in the room. If you're a company and you look around your boardroom or you look around your meeting rooms and 80, 90% of the people that are in the room are over the age of 50, you might want some younger voices that can speak to a new generation. That would be another way to revitalize a company. I mean, think about what Warren Buffett did to Berkshire Hathaway. The Berkshire Hathaway originally was a paper textile mill. And it's obviously was going to be obsolete. So what did he do? He brought in new voices. He revitalized the company. It's not even the same company. What happened to Apple, the original Apple? They kicked Steve Jobs out. Apple was almost dead. What happened? They brought in new voices. What is Disney doing right now? Literally right now, Disney fires their CEO and they do what? They bring back Bob Iger. Because Disney was a powerhouse during Bob Iger. And they brought in the CEO, and what did he do? He turned it into an organization that nobody wanted to really be a part of. Made it woke. Started changing everything. It wasn't Disney anymore. We don't want Disney to get into politics. We want Disney to be magical for everybody. A place where you can escape to. Disney didn't understand that, though. Now they do. So they bring Bob Iger back, and Bob Iger's bringing in new voices. What did Elon Musk do to Twitter? I mean, guys, we haven't seen the final results to that yet, but what he is doing is creating new voices. He's going to change the company. The second thing you want to do is ask new questions, having new conversations. And sometimes you have to think about those questions. I mean, think about Bill Gates, okay? Bill Gates went into a meeting a long time ago, and he didn't say, how can we make a better computer? He didn't say, how can we make better software? What his question was to his team was, how can I become the intelligence that runs all companies? And with that question, it changed Microsoft. The questions that you ask are important. So when you have your business, regardless of what it is, how do you revitalize your company? You have to ask new questions. You have to have new conversations. You have to ask the right questions, because those questions are going to lead to the strategies that implement them. Number three is get new perspectives. You know, as an owner, our egos drive us. We're the boss. We're in charge. It's my money. I invest it. I have all the risk. But it doesn't always work that way. If your company's slowing down, if you're struggling to get it to the next level, get new perspectives. What are you doing that you shouldn't be doing? What are you not doing that you could be doing? What is the generation that you're talking to, your new market? What do they want? So pay attention to that. Number four is new passions. You know, if your company is selling the same thing or doing the same thing that it was 10 years ago, there's likely a reason that your sales and your revenue is dropping off. And it might not really be dying. It might be pretty easy to revitalize. You just have to find new passions. As an owner, as a company, as a service, finding your clients' passions, what do they want? And then the fifth one is new experiments. Don't be scared to go out there and try things. See if it works. Test the market. Experiment. Get feedback. Ask your customers. You have email lists, phone numbers. Call them. Don't sell them anything. Just call them. Hey, I want to see how you're doing. I appreciate your business. We appreciate the relationship that we've built over time. And I just have a question for you. We would like to change parts of our company. We would like to either add new services or new products, or change a few of the things that we're doing to match the times in the future. What do you think we could do that would benefit people like you? People that have used us, people that have believed in us over the years. Let them tell you, and then test it. See if it'll sell. See if it works. See what the feedback is. Okay? So, you want to be able, we're talking about passions. Let's go back to the last one real quick, the new passions. So you want to be able to connect people with their passion. And what I mean by their or people, I'm talking about your employees and your customers. So you think about your employees, however long they've been with you, they're now older than they were. Okay. And think about yourself. When you're in your 20s, when you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, what changes within your passion? You know, we go from playing sports to watching sports, or we go from liking different types of foods or different types of hobbies. You know, or we get to a certain point and we're like, hey, I want to learn how to fly an airplane. Whatever happens to be, you want to be able to connect people with their passion, because if your company is struggling or you're seeing sales and revenue start to die off, you have to reignite the passion within your staff. You have to want to get them to wake up in the morning and be excited to come in and build something and create something. But if they're waking up and they're like, it's Wednesday. Oh, man, midweek. Can't wait till Friday. Hey, honey, I'll be home. I'll be home about 5 o'clock today. And, you know, they're starting their day already looking forward to the end of the day. So how do you change that? Connect them with their passion, not yours. Okay. Get coaches. There's a reason every elite individual on the planet has a coach. Get a coach. Call me. We'll talk. Let me show you how I can help you. I promise you, you are not being as productive as you could be. I promise you, you're missing things, because owners have tunnel vision. especially if you are working in your business. If you're an owner operator of your business, you are definitely have tunnel vision. If you own your business and you sit, you know, on a board and manage it from the top, depending on how many levels down your, you know, your core workers are, you're probably missing a lot as well. Get a coach. Get your people coaches, your salespeople, the heads of your departments. Create follow-up systems for after they start. What can you follow up on? How do you track their performance? How do you track their, not even their work performance necessarily, but their emotional performance? Are they excited? Right? Okay, so I want to do some exercises here. If you are driving, then obviously you can think about these, but re-listen to it or pause it, pull over when, you know, do it later in the day. If you are not, get a pen and paper out, and here's some exercises for you. So one is the new voices. These are going to be the things that we just did. What are some new voices that you think that would benefit your company? How could you get them? Who could you find? What are those new voices? Write those down. Again, new questions. I want you to write down like 3 or 4 new questions that you can ask that you haven't asked yet. How do you get new perspectives? Who would you talk to? What are those new perspectives and where do they come from? Brainstorm that. Write it down. Maybe they're customers that didn't buy from you. Maybe they're employees that quit. Why don't you give them a call? You know, a lot of times when employees quit our companies, we get angry. I'll never hire them again. They were horrible, this and that and the other thing. What if they quit because of you? You know, the majority of workplace turnover, statistically, is because of management. Because the employees don't like their direct manager. You know, I used to tell my coaches this. My salespeople go out, okay, and they have conversations with business owners, getting conversations so that we can help them grow their business. Okay. And what I tell my coaches is it's not how many people you bring into the organization. I don't care how many sales we make. What I care about is how many people leave. Because if they don't stay with us, that means you didn't provide a level of service that they needed, that they felt value of. You didn't grow. So I track not how many people we have, but how many people leave. It's a different perspective. And then passions. This is a big thing. You know, if you want to create some livelihood in your business, talk to your staff. Interview them. Why are they here? Connect with them a little bit. What do they want? What's going to make them happy? Because if they're not happy, they're not going to work hard for you, right? You don't want somebody that's just coming in and looking at the clock to leave. I mean, look at what Elon Musk did to Twitter. He comes in and he starts asking people, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? And they all kind of look back at him, according to the story, and say, nothing. So what did he do? He fired them. Now look at Twitter. Twitter is running a company. With, I'm not even going to try to guess the percentage because I don't know the percentage, but it is a large percentage of people that are no longer there. And Twitter is just fine running the way that it's running because they were overstaffed with people that didn't know what the hell they were doing anyways. So talk to your people. That way when you're doing awards or rewards or incentives, it's something that they care about, that they're passionate about. You know, you advertise to your salespeople, hey, you know, top salesman of the month gets a new iPad. What if they don't want an iPad? What if they already have two of them? What if their passion is to go skydiving? What if their passion is to go scuba diving? What if their passion is to go to a museum? What if their passion is to ride horses or race a car? Or, I mean, come on, get creative. And then with new experiments, what new experiments do you think that you could do? Develop something unbelievable for your clients. Develop an unbelievable pay plan for your teams. What can you do? Listen, incremental improvements, okay? These little improvements will allow you to maximize your profits. And when we're talking about revitalizing a company and strategic innovation, and the whole purpose of it is to fix the company, to continue to grow, to get to that next level, or to fix it if it's on the decline. Little, tiny, incremental improvements will allow you to maximize your profit. But in order for you to be a player in your industry, either in the industry as a whole, or your city, or your region, or your state, or wherever it is that you operate, it comes from changing the company's model, the company's view. So here are some questions that you can ask yourself to promote strategy innovation. Number one, and we've talked about these before, a couple of these before, not all of them, a couple of them. Number one, what business are you really in? So you have to understand that in order to ask and to be able to create and innovate new products or services within your company, you can't just come out there and say, I'm a lawyer. You can't just come out there and say, I'm a contractor. I'm in real estate. What business are you really in? What do you really do for your people? What is the result that you give them? That's the business that you're in. It will help you when it comes to strategy innovation. And then think about number two, question number two, why are you really successful? Why are you successful? What is it about you that draws people into your company? Passion, your execution, connecting visions. What is it? And then three, you have to be able to identify who your customer really is. Okay. So we, you know, talked to a lot of people and it's like, who's your target market? And they give an answer, but it's so broad. People from 25 to 50 years old, you know, they have to like sports. They have to own a home. They have to have a certain amount of net worth. Who is your customer? I mean, get detailed. Are they left? Are they right? Are they a certain income profile? Are they certain hobbies? Are they certain religions or politics? Or do they ride motorcycles? Do they not? Do they like fast cars? Do they not? Do they like big, heavy diesel engines? Or do they like electric vehicles? You know, are they adventure takers? Or are they more reserved? Are they teachers? Or are they doctors? Or are they, you know, think about your customer. You know, and that will help you when it comes to innovation. Like, think about if you're a contractor, okay, let's say you're a roofing company and you replace roofs on houses, right? But that's so broad. In order to really create a strategy to innovate your company and revitalize it, focus. Get focused. You want to focus on replacing roofs and windows in minimum of $1 million homes, million to 3 million, 5 million plus. You want to go to 100,000 to 200,000 or 200,000 and less. Pick a market because that is your customer. If you think about it, somebody that owns a $100,000 home versus somebody that owns a $5 million home, the roof is not the roof. The roof is not the same. You think it's the same because you're a roofing contractor, but the buyer doesn't think it's the same. Because if it costs $8,000, $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 to replace, you know, a $100,000 home, that's a lot of money for somebody that owns a $100,000 home to fork over 12 grand to replace a roof. But if you own a $5 million house and your roof cost $100,000 or $80,000 or $75,000 or $50,000 or whatever that number happens to be, it's not apples to apples to them. One person very much values their home, their landscaping, their interiors, their decorations, their fancy china and silverware, where the other people are probably paycheck to paycheck. And I mean, this is generalization. I could be way wrong on this, but generalizing, they don't have that kind of cash sitting around. Probably might not have the credit either. Now, at the end of the day, they still need the roof replacement. But the point here is that if you're going to revitalize your company and strategically innovate it, who is your customer? Because it's not just people that need roofs. You have to dial in and be specific. And then you're going to have to ask yourself, number four, what does your customer really need now and in the next 5 years? Do they need support? Do they need cash flow? Do they need personal time? Do they need revenue? Do they need money? Do they need... You know, you come up to somebody and you know that, okay, you can serve them this now, and then 5 years from now, they're going to need this. So think about your customers, because one of the ways to grow a business is to remember the three different ways of growing a business is increasing your customers, increasing the average transaction value, and increasing the frequency of repurchase. So if you think about what do they need now, you can offer a new product or a new service that helps them right now today. And if you think about what they're going to need within the next 5 years, you're going to be able to create and innovate something again and again and again. And you'll be able to keep doing that. And when you do those little tiny changes, 10 years from now or 15 years from now, you're going to see your business is probably completely different than what it originally started with. You know, ask yourself this. If we were to start a business today from scratch and be able to maximize your impact, maximize your leverage, maximize your profitability, what would you do? You know, there's a reason you started your business however many years ago. My guess is it's different than why you are still in your business today. And if you are not where you want to be within your business or your personal life, your personal income, your personal status to live the life that you want, then if we were going to start over right now today, take investment capital, take money out of it. But if you were going to be able to maximize your impact, your profitability, your leverage, what would you start right now today? What would you do? Think about the next one here. Think about what distribution channels are you not using or maximizing? Are you using, you have a website, but are you tracking the metrics to see how many people actually come to it? Are you using all of the social media accounts, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, QP, YouTube, TikTok? Are you using all of them? And if so, are you monitoring which ones are working versus others? Are you wasting time posting content to social media accounts that haven't generated you anything while you could be focusing on that time, energy, and effort and the content on social media platforms that have delivered you results? Maybe it's not just social media. Maybe it's, you know, vendors, advertising, TV, radio. I mean, you got to find new ways of getting out there. Word of mouth, email marketing, text marketing. What are you doing? What distribution channels are you not using or maximizing right now today? And then what technology are you not using or maximizing today? Right? How many of you, and this might be for the older people that are listening, but how many of you, when the internet came out in the late 90s, early 2000s, were still not using internet? How many of you fought, I'm not using that, I'm not going to learn it, I'm not going to understand it, I don't need a smartphone, I'm fine with my flip phone, I'm fine with my house phone? What technology are you not using? Sorry about that. What technology are you not using or maximizing today? And then, what identity do you want people to associate to your business? So, people don't buy products. They just don't. People buy identities. They buy things that make them feel better. You go to a dealership, you want a certain color car, you want a certain car, you want certain interiors, you want, you know, you're searching for a house, you want a certain look. Why? Because it's the way that it makes us feel. I want to feel good when I get in my car. I want to feel good when I come home. It's an identity purchase. So what identity do you want people to associate to your business? And then finally, who do they become by doing business with you? So, for example, you do business with me. I am going to push you to your next level, both in business and life, because I'm going to track it, and I'm going to be on top of you, and I'm going to make sure that you're doing the things that you said you need to do. And I'm going to be sure that you're doing the things to be the person that you said you wanted to be. And who do you become? The ultimate goal is you're going to be fulfilled. You're going to achieve things that you couldn't do on your own. You're going to be able to take your business to the next level. You're going to better your relationship with your families. And at the end of the day, you are going to become powerful. You are going to become the person that you see in your head that you can't figure out in reality why you're not. And of all people, trust me, I know. When I was by myself, I had a view of myself, of the person that I knew that I was inside. But the reality is in my day-to-day and my actions and the things that I was doing, I was being somebody different. And I had to have a coach. So you are going to become the person that you see yourself being in your head. So when you ask the question to yourself, who do your customers, your clients become if they do business with you? So at the end of the day, create internal fans by asking questions, getting their passions in line, reward your people, and you will be just fine. So I want to thank everybody. Okay, we obviously are going to keep continuing the podcast here, but we are going to enter season 2. And season two, like we've talked about it over the last couple weeks, I briefly mentioned that we are going to start bringing business owners on. We're going to do interviews. We are going to open it up to YouTube. So instead of just being an audio, it's also going to be a film, not a film, but, you know, recorded, and taking business owners on and talking to them about their business and what is going great and what some of their challenges, what their problems are. You know, we're going into winter. I'm not talking about the literal winter season. I'm talking about, you know, things are getting a little difficult in the economy, in your businesses. So what different ways can we put people together and talk about problems and do some coaching and figure out different ways? And for those of you that are listening, you might find somebody that's in the same business or industry as you, or somebody that you're trying to get into or do work with. And we're going to be able to build those networks. I have those networks. You know, I'm part of a network with billionaires and nine-figure entrepreneurs and people who want people to succeed and grow. And I'd be happy to introduce people to my network. So let's talk. Look at the show notes. There'll be a link. You can book an appointment with me. Let's have a conversation. We'll jump on Zoom. If you want to be on the podcast to feature yourself and your business and talk about it, a little bit of advertising there. The email will be there as well, and you can book an appointment with me. We'll have a small conversation before we do it. These new podcasts are probably going to be maybe an hour or so, just because, you know, depends on the conversation, but we're going to do a deeper dives. Okay. And so I want to appreciate and say thank you for listening to these 9 episodes and sticking with me on this. And we will see you in a week when we bring on the new structure of the show. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I hope that you learned a lot and that you feel motivated to start implementing everything that you've learned here. You know I love results, and I know that you're going to have amazing ones. If you like what you're hearing and you want to leave a review, that would be awesome. Please make sure that you subscribe so that you don't miss out on any of the new episodes, and shoot me a DM on Instagram at Antonio M. Bravada. I would love to hear your biggest takeaways. And remember, if you change your thinking, you'll change your actions. If you change your actions, you'll change your reality.